Well, a human nature is what makes you human and not a dog or a fish or a turtle. Your human nature is what sets your ultimate capacities and determines the kind of thing you are. You don't get a human nature in degrees. You either have it or you don't. There's no degree involved.
Scott Klusendorf speaking at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
Well, people today are quite willing to concede that you have a human nature. They're willing to concede I do, but they don't want to concede that embryo is. And here's the question you put to them when they challenge you. How do two human parents create offspring that isn't human, but later become so?
You can listen to Scott Klusendorf's presentation, Making the Case for Life, and all the speakers at our 2018 Making the Case conferences on an audio DVD or flash drive. We'll send it to you for a $300 year-end tax-deductible donation. Look for the link at our homepage, issuesetc.org.
This is particularly true for the media. If they genuinely believe what they claimed they believed about the seriousness and credibility of these allegations, the fact that he made it onto the Supreme Court should cause even more investigation, even more coverage, that instead they dropped it.
Martin Luther often said that if the church ever were to lose the biblical languages, the church would lose the gospel.
It's very difficult for me to explain what it meant to me to consider that I am pleasing to God not because of who I am, but because of the righteousness of Christ.
On-demand listeners of Issues Etc. love hearing sound theology while walking the dog.
We hear the term all the time, toxic masculinity. What does it mean? It's obviously intended to be a explanation after the Thousand Oaks shooting, the terrible nightclub shooting there took place. Almost immediately, there were people throwing that term around, and it wasn't the first time it was thrown around in the media by pundits and by those who comment on the state of our society. It's intended to be an explanation, but does it explain things like mass shootings? Does it explain other things that are laid at the doorstep of simply being a man? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Wednesday afternoon, the 14th of November. We're going to talk about counterarguments to toxic masculinity from the Thousand Oaks shooting. Glenn Stanton, Director of Family Formation Studies for Focus on the Family, will be our guest a little bit later. Terry Mattingly joins us for some discussion of media coverage of Canadian psychology professor and he's kind of the answer man for all manner of things. He is everywhere in all forms of media, talking about just about everything, including religion. Jordan Peterson, Terry Mattingly will be our guest for that conversation. Then Stephanie Traffigan joins us. We'll talk about doubt and belief in miscarriage. She is co-author of the book Never Forsaken. Her chapter there is titled, I Believe, Help My Unbelief. Pastor Ted Geese joins us after that. We will review two movies. One, the 11th Halloween movie. Yes, the 11th Halloween movie. And a film that he says is actually really good. It's called Bad Times at the El Royale. A little movie review to round off Issues Etc. today. Feel free to join us with questions or comments or call in number 1-877-623-MY-IE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, and our listener comment line 618-223-8382. Joining us to discuss counterarguments to toxic masculinity from the Thousand Oaks shooting, Glenn Stanton, a regular guest director of Family Formation Studies for Focus on the Family and author of the books The Ring Makes All the Difference and Loving My LGBT Neighbor, and a recent column for The Federalist titled In Thousand Oaks, Scores of Heroic Men Rescued Others from One Evil Man. Glenn, welcome back.
Hey, thank you, Todd. Good to be with you.
When we hear that common term, toxic masculinity, what is ordinarily meant and how do you respond to the idea and how it's used?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, it's used as a swipe at men, really, and that masculinity can be more toxic than a social virtue, but that's exactly what they get wrong. Maleness can be toxic for sure, but masculinity is a social virtue. It's interesting. when, you know, a woman's going to go out on a blind date and the man is described as masculine, she never asks if he's getting help for that. You know, it's a positive kind of thing. And so it is. It's a swipe at what it means to be male, what it means to be masculine.
So when a man is in the picture, as it was in the tragic story of that Thousand Oaks shooting there, and the perpetrator is a man, how did the term toxic masculinity become, well, I guess, for lack of a better word, the explanation, the catch-all explanation for such terrible crimes?
Well, it's not really, as you know, it's not really given seriously or as a scientific kind of thing. It's more, again, as an attack. It's like, you know, the only thing really wrong with the world is men being men. If they would act more like women, then, you know, everything would be fine. And, you know, Harvey Weinstein and, you know, shooters and rapists and, you know, that's just kind of what men do. When, no, that's not what men do. In a press, and this is what I wrote about in the article, when the situation arises, men step up and protect people. They save other people. They run towards danger. They put themselves between bullets and innocent people. And that's exactly what we saw in Thousand Oaks last week. I mean, time after time, none of these men were heroes, quote unquote. They're just regular guys doing what they do. But when the situation presented itself, they didn't even think twice. They acted and they did what they had to do.
So why do you think it is that those kind of displays of genuine manhood, those kind of displays of what that's, you say that social virtue of masculinity actually is and ought to be spontaneously on display at a time when they could have just have easily ducked out the back door and saved their own skins? Why does that not become part of the story?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, it's, and that's the big, big question. The article that I wrote, I really wrote it responding to an ABC News piece. And it's remarkable because this young woman reporter in Los Angeles, she is telling the story of what happened, and she's unwittingly telling the story of man after man after man who stepped up and protected other people. One of the incidents in there, she's talking to this man and she said, you know, I was right there when the shooting started and I saw a number of employees die, get shot. And so I grabbed my son and we ran out. And then he starts to get really emotional and he said, and I realized I could have gone back in and waited for his clip to empty and then overtake him, but I didn't. I stuck with my son. And again, very emotionally, he says, if anybody who was injured or anybody who passed, I apologize for not going back in. I mean, you know, nobody blames him for sticking with his son, but there was a thing inside of him that said, I should have saved more people. I should have done what I needed to do. And nobody shamed him. Nobody thought anything less, but that motivation, that conviction was in him. And this ABC reporter was telling that story. It wasn't a report, you know, per se on how strong men were. She was just talking about what happened. And she saw that time and time again, it was these men stepping up and protecting others.
And talk about the fact that this may happen in these extraordinary cases, like the Thousand Oaks shooting, but it happens also every single day in ways big and small. There are entire vocations devoted to what men do, what men are inclined to do in that civil sense, which is to help, to protect, to put oneself in harm's way on behalf of others.
Yeah, and that's true. I mean, you know, of course we have police women, but for the most part, police forces started out as men wanting to protect the community and putting themselves in harm's way. And again, women do that, and they do it very heroically. But it's primarily, I mean, that doesn't take anything away from the fact that it's primarily men who do this. I was thinking this morning about the fires in California. You look at any of the footage, And it's men out there in the flames, carrying the big hoses, looking for people, seeking to save people, seeking to put out the fires. And then the women, no less, they are back at the shelters of the displaced people, caring for people, feeding people, you know, comforting children, comforting those, you know, who have lost everything. And so women will more naturally do that kind of stuff. They don't have to think about it. It's just their caring heart does that. But the men are more inclined to go in, break things down, bust through things, and act in a large way like that to, again, separate people from danger. And you're right, it happens. It happens every day. And the interesting thing, Todd, that whenever you interview people like this that have done this kind of rescuing, they don't call themselves hero. They deny that they're heroes. I mean, one guy in the ABC News from Thousand Oaks, he just said, I was just doing what people do when others are in danger. Didn't see it as anything particular or anything fantastic. And that's interesting. And that's the story of men that we need to be telling. And that's the whole point of my story is, yeah, there's one bad man, but there are tens of men in that situation who were being good men, who were being sacrificing men. And just you ask the question, why do we not hold those people up? For the most part, masculinity is not toxic. Maleness is not toxic. It serves, it builds, it protects, it provides for. And we need to recognize that and see maleness and masculinity as a social virtue.
Finally, Glenn, has feminism in many ways framed the entire interplay here as a zero-sum game between women and men? That if women are going to be extolled for the virtues of femininity, which they ought to be, somehow that means that men and masculinity must be denigrated. That seems to be the formula that's so often at work here. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's the great irony, and Chesterton said it so well in one of his essays. He said, you know, curiously, feminism is the pursuit of not being feminine in any way. And so, you know, they're opposed to femininity, but they're also opposed to masculinity, and they see it as, I mean, the worst being in the world is a man. The best being in the world is a male individual who is feminized. And I don't mean, you know, in the sense of they like art, they like music, you know, things like that, but it's a man who acts passively. And that's the opposite of manliness. Manliness, masculinity, steps up and it does the right thing at the right time in the right way when it needs doing. And women, of course, do that, but men do it in a unique way, and society needs for that to happen. And let me end with this. I mean, that ABC News story, which I linked to in my piece, both the woman reporter and the woman anchor back in New York City, I mean, they're just like absolutely amazed and so appreciative that these men stepped up. And so this whole feminist ideal can only work in a make-believe situation, if you will. But when real life starts to happen, nobody's complaining that, well, why do all the men get to rescue? Why don't they let some of the women rescue as well? I mean, all that just goes out the window, and we recognize and we appreciate and we celebrate masculinity because of what real good men do.
Glenn Stanton is Director of Family Formation Studies for Focus on the Family. He is author of the books The Ring Makes All the Difference and Loving My LGBT Neighbor, and a recent column for The Federalist titled In Thousand Oaks, Scores of Heroic Men Rescued Others from One Evil Man. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Glenn, thank you very much.
Hey, thanks, Todd. Good to be with you.
Terry Mattingly will be with us on the other side of the break on this Wednesday afternoon. We're going to talk about media coverage of Canadian psychology professor Jordan Peterson, who is willing to give any answer to any question. I wonder, where does the expertise taper off? We'll answer that question, among others, with Terry after this.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates and affirms life from the time of conception until natural death, and every time in between. For this reason, LCMS Life Ministry is a program singularly devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and the culture at large. Life Ministry provides educational materials, hosts conferences, and works closely with allies such as Lutherans for Life. For more information, visit lcms.org/life and follow LCMS Life Ministry on Facebook.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Concordia University Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're committed to increasing LCMS faculty and staff members. This is Dr. Daniel Gard, president of Concordia University Chicago. If you are a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod with excellent professional credentials, please consider applying for our faculty or staff family. Current openings are posted at cuchicago.edu/HR.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House. cph.org.